Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now, here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Monday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I'm looking forward to continuing our study in the thrilling book of Judges. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, your tablets, your Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. The host has graciously set up a chat room for that purpose. Now, before we get started, as I always do, and I will continue this practice, I must personally take this time to thank all of those of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on this particular show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using. Thank you so very much. Now, as the theme song for the show suggests, the question for this hour is, and it will always be, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he will add the rest to you." That's taken from Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. The promise is that you will receive what you need if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Jesus said again, "Learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and I will give you rest and peace to your soul." That's taken from Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Now again, the promise is that you're going to have not a hard time of this experience you're having this side of eternity if you turn to Jesus Christ. And again, Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my words, and the Father will love you, and he and I will make our abode within you." That's taken from John chapter 14, verse 23. The promise is that the indwelling will be guaranteed if you love and keep the commandments and words of Jesus Christ. Are you standing on these promises? That is the key. Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, before we go to the lesson, again, I want to stress the importance of the Bible code. You know, the Bible is written in mysteries, in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, in symbols, etc., etc. And the only way to break the code is through study and learning. And that's why we're here this evening, to study and learn together. And I'm excited about that. So let's get to the study. All right, turn your Bible sources with me to Judges. We're going to be looking at instruction number 18. The text is Judges chapter 7, verse 1 through 7. And we're going to keep in mind as I read the text to you, the instruction, the 300 men saga. So what we're looking at is where these characters in the book of Judges, most of them were judges, and this particular one is pertaining to Gideon, how God would not allow Gideon to use all of Israel to overcome their adversary, because then they would have believed that they did it themselves. So this is one of the events that Gideon experienced, where God dwindled down the number of men that he would use in war, so it would realize, they would realize that it was God winning the victory and not them themselves. And it's called the 300 men saga. And this is what it says. Then Jerubbaal, who was Gideon, who and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them, by the hill of Moriah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into your hand, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, my own hand hath saved me. Now therefore, go therefore to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And their return of the people, 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said again unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down into the water, and I will try them there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by them himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hands to their mouths, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thy hands. And let all the other people go, every man to his place. Now I see we've reached the first break. Let's take that break, and then we'll continue with the study.
This, an almighty, all-knowing, all-powerful God is sitting in heaven waiting to hear from you. David says that he has his his hand cupped behind his ear, listening for his children to ask him for great and mighty things that we know not. He's listening for us to pull down the strongholds of addictions that enslave our families, to pull down the strongholds of abortion and pornography, to pull down the demonic forces that are destroying the government of the United States. So what does he hear from our lips? Oh God, watch over the parakeet and water the grass. Let me tell you something. When you walk through these doors and you lift your hands to pray, I want you to remember that you are talking to Almighty, all-knowing, all-powerful God, the creator of heaven and earth. The blast of his nostrils can split the cedars of Lebanon. He holds the seven seas in the palms of his hand. He weighs the mountains in a scale and the hills in the balance. You can ask him for things so staggering, so big, that God slides out of his chair and sits on the edge and says to the angels, did you hear what he said? Asking for things that are impossible, because with God nothing is impossible. Ask him to defeat the giants in your life, because our God is a giant killer. Ask him to divide the sea before you and to bury Pharaoh and watch him turn your enemies into fish food. Ask him to send fire from heaven as he did for Elijah, and he will. Ask him to walk with you in the fire of the fiery furnace and be the fourth man in the fire, and he will. He said you will walk through the fire and the fire will not burn you. You will walk through the water and the water will not drown you. Ask him. He's the God who cannot fail. He's waiting to show you great and mighty things. Ask him. Pray, pray, pray. God in heaven wants you to have that power. You are made in the image of God. God is not a statue. He speaks, he thinks, he talks, he feels our infirmities. He answers our prayer. He's alive. He's Jehovah Shammah, the God who is there. He's Jehovah Nissi, the Lord who is our banner. He's Jehovah Shalom, the God our peace. Pray. God is in heaven saying, what do you need? Do you need healing? Ask in faith, believing, and I will give it. Do you need supernatural wisdom to make a tough decision? Ask of me, and I will lead you in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Do you need peace that surpasses understanding? Ask, 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 for nothing is impossible to those that believe. No good thing will he withhold from those that diligently seeking. Do you need the impossible? Then open your mouth. Open your mouth in faith, believing. You're not talking to the President of the United States. You're not talking to Bill Gates. Both of them together can't control their next breath. You're talking to the Creator of heaven and earth. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He uses gold for asphalt on the streets of heaven. He moves mountains. He divides seas. He'll give you wells you didn't dig, vineyards you didn't plant, houses you didn't build. He will make you the head and not the tail, because nothing, nothing, nothing is impossible to you.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're looking at instruction number 18, the 300 men saga. Now let's go to Matthew. Our complement is New Testament complement, Matthew chapter 22. We're going to look at verse 8 through 14, and it's going to be relatively telling us the same. And this is what it says. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they that were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they could find, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how comest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. And just like in the 300-man saga with Gideon, there were 32,000 to begin with, and 300 were the ones that were called. They're going to be all invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. But if you're not called, if you do not have on the wedding garment of the Lamb, you will not be invited in. That is the instruction that I'm trying to share with you with this instruction from this lesson. Let's now go back to our next instruction, number 19, and we're going to be looking at Judges chapter 7 again, and we're going to take in verse 12 through 15. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind, number 19, as I read the text to you. The Midianite Nightmare. And this is, again, an extension of what Gideon experienced in his fight against the Midianites. They had a nightmare, and it was caused by God. And this is what it says about it. Judges chapter 7, verse 12 through 15. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels were without number, as the sand by the sea side for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, Behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came into a tent, and smote it that it fell, and overturned it that the tent lay alone. And his fellow answered and said, This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, the man of Israel, for unto him his hand had God delivered Midian and all of his hosts. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. So that was the Midian nightmare. And now let's go to Revelations. We're going to go to the book of Revelations, and we're going to look at Revelations chapter 12, the complement, and we're going to see how it relates to what we just read, my precious brothers and sisters. Revelations chapter 12, and we're going to be looking at verse 1 and 2 and verse 5 and verse 7 through 11. And listen to this, and it'll be similar to what we just read about the Midianite nightmare. Listen to what Revelations chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. Verse 5 continues the thought. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And verse 7 through 11 completes the thought. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was there found any more that their place in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. And he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come the salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the blood of, and by the word, and by his word of his testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he has...
I give you four guidelines on open doors, closed doors. Number one, Since God is sovereign, He is in full control on both sides of any door. Second, being in full control, God takes full responsibility for the results. Number three, the closing of a good opportunity occurs in order to lead us to an even better one. And number four, not until you walk through the open door and look back do you realize the necessity of the other doors being closed. Even though we don't understand why, we'll go. I have no idea what closed doors you are living with. For all I know, you are going through self-loathing and blame. Or even worse, you may be blaming someone else because the door closed. Because I don't know which one to speak to directly, I speak to all of you and say, let it be. Let the oak fall. Let the acorns scatter. God moves in mysterious ways, His wonders to perform. He plants His footstep on the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable mines of never-failing skill, He treasures up His bright design and works His sovereign will. Let it be.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us go into instruction number 20. And the text, we're going to take another instruction from Judges chapter 7. This time we're going to be looking at verse 16 through 24. And what I want you to do is keep in mind this particular instruction. As I read the text to you, it's instruction 20. Gideon destroys Midian according to the nightmare. All right, so now we're going to see, and we just read how Gideon was impressed when God revealed to him what was said in that dream, that they would overtake Midian, and now he's going to use that to fight against the Midianites. And here's what Judges chapter 7, verse 16 through 24 says, and Gideon divided 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with an empty pitcher and lamps within the pitchers, and said unto them, look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with the trumpet, and I and all that are with me, then blow your trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hand and the trumpets in their right hand and blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp. And all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets. And the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Beth Shittah in Zerareth, and to the border of Abel-Moloah unto Teba. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali and out of Asher and out of all of Manasseh, and pursued after the Midianites. And Gideon sent messengers there throughout all Mount Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites and take before them the waters unto Berabathra and Jordan. Then all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and took the waters unto Berabathra and Jordan. Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, now let us turn our Bible sources to Revelations. We're going to go to the New Testament complement and see where we can find a comparison to what just occurred similarly. And we're going to look in Revelations chapter 12, verse 11 through 17. And this is what it says. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto thee, having great wrath, before he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he pursued the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness and into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the woman opened her mouth, or the earth opened her mouth, and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So we can see in this instance that God is going to destroy Satan by himself. What we must do is, as Gideon did with his men, follow basic instructions before leaving earth, B-I-B-L-E, and as Moses told Israel when they were standing at the Red Sea, be still before he parted the sea. Moses told Israel, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So in this instance, we are to follow what is being prescribed for us in the book of Revelations. God will take care of the menace, but we must obey his commandments. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Let's turn our Bible sources back to instruction number 21, and we're going to look at this time Judges chapter 8, verse 1 through 3, Judges chapter 8, verse 1 through 3. And as I read the instruction to you, instruction number 21, this is what I want you to keep in mind, this instruction as I read the text. Gideon satisfies Ephraim. All right? So this, again, we're looking at the episodes in the scenario of the life of Gideon as this writer writes it. So there has a situation he had with Ephraim, and he satisfies Ephraim. And this is what Judges chapter 8, verse 1 through 3 says about it. And the men of Ephraim said unto Gideon, why hast thou served us thus? Thou hast called us not when thou went to fight with the Midianites. And they did chide with him sharply. And he said unto them, what have I done now in comparison of you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Ebenezer? God has delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb, and Zebed. And what was I able to do in comparison to you? Then their anger was abated toward him when he had said that, because it was God who caused this to occur. Gideon did not, and they received Gideon's word and were satisfied. Now let's go to Acts. We're going to go to our New Testament complement. Turn with us to the book of Acts, chapter 15, and we're going to look at several verses, and we're going to see how this complements what happened with Gideon and Ephraim. This is Acts chapter 15, verse 1 and 2, to start off with. And a certain man, which came down from Judea, taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and a certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this particular question. Then verse 5 continues the thought. But there arose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believing, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to commit and command them to keep the law of Moses. Then verse 5 through 12 completes the thought. Then all of the multitude kept silent and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had heard, held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon had declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as is written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. Okay, so what has happened in this instance, we read that, in fact, what I did, I should have read from verse 5 through 12. Let's go back, verse 5 through 12, because this wasn't accurate. This is what how the New Testament complement compares with what Gideon did to satisfy Ephraim. This is what satisfied the Jews when Barnabas and Paul was speaking. Verse 5 through 12, it says, but there arose up a certain sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to crucify or circumcise them. In fact, I guess I did read that. The point is that the group agreed because of God's business. God was the one that was doing this, and not Barnabas and Paul exclusively. It was through God's direction, and that's what satisfied those folks that were listening. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back with me to instruction number 22, and we're going to go and take another instruction out of Judges chapter 8. It's going to be verse 4 through 9. And I see that we're at the next break. Let's take that break, and then we'll continue with the lesson.
Did you know that anxiety can come from simply having the wrong expectations? Well, if that's true, then what are the right expectations? Here's a simple answer. God's expectations. Okay, then what are God's expectations? Here's another simple answer. Perfection. So how do you arrive at perfection? You can't. The good news is that Jesus Christ offered you his own perfection on the cross. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So how does that help us deal with anxiety? Once you have peace with God, you get to have peace about everything else. Why? Because of promises like the one found in Isaiah 51:12, where God says, I, even I, am he who comforts you. Who are you that you are afraid of man who dies and of the Son of Man who is made like grass? Why is peace with God so great? Because no matter what is causing your anxiety, when you have peace with God, he is your comforter. He is your solution. You need money? He's your provider. You need energy? He's your strength. You need healing? He is your healer. You're looking for direction? He is your counselor. Then how do we receive these things from God? When we have peace with God, The Holy Spirit is able to dwell in us, and He transforms our hearts. He gives us hearts that are seeking after God and His ways. And when we follow the ways of the Lord, we're going to have the perspective of the Lord as well. I want you to think about something for a second. What if the disciples started writing the accounts of Jesus being on earth before Jesus was resurrected? What if they sat down the day after Jesus' death and started writing the Gospels? It would have been a depressing story. The story would have been told from man's limited perspective. They were scared and they were disappointed. They thought that God had made a mistake, that maybe God didn't see it coming. But God had the better perspective and the bigger picture in mind, life and redemption. Some of us are trying to write the story of our lives, but we haven't gotten a hold of God's point of view yet. We're not looking at things from His perspective. We've yet to understand His plan, His sovereignty, and His power. God has a bigger picture in mind for your life. If you're dealing with anxiety that's based on your perspective, you can start to look at things from His perspective today. How do we learn to see things from the point of view of other people in our lives? It's easy. We spend time with them and we get to know them more. The same way, we learn to view life from God's perspective by spending time with God. We get it straight from Jesus. And that is why it's so critical for us as believers to spend time with Him. We have peace with God when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, but we experience the peace of God in our lives and situations when we abide in Him, walking in His presence. John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful."
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're on instruction number 22, and we're going to be taking another lesson from Judges chapter 8, verse 4 through 9. And the instruction that I want you to keep in mind, which is instruction number 22, says this: Gideon threatens Succoth and Peniel. So let's see why. This is what Judges chapter 8, verse 4 through 9 says. And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, and the 300 men that were with him faint, yet pursuing them. And he said unto the men of Succoth, "Give, I pray you, loaves of bread unto the people that follow me, for they be faint. And I am pursuing after Zebath and Zalmunna, kings of Midian." And the princes of Succoth said, "Are the hands of Zebah and Zalmunna now in thy hand, that we should give bread unto thy army?" And Gideon said, "Therefore, when the Lord hath delivered Zebah and Zalmunna into my hand, then I will tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars." And he went up thence to Peniel, and spake unto them likewise. And the men of Peniel answered him as the men of Succoth had answered him. And he spoke also unto the men of Peniel, saying, "When I come again in peace, I will break down this tower." All right. Now let's go to our New Testament complement. Let's go to Revelations chapter 2. Revelations chapter 2, verse 18 through 23. And let us read what the Spirit says to the church. This is our complement that is giving us approximately the same indication as what happened with Gideon threatening Succoth and Peniel. Listen to what it says in Revelation chapter 2, verse 18 through 23. It says, "And unto the angel at the church of Thyatira write, These things saith the Son of God, who has his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Now I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. So, as Gideon threatens Zophath and Peniel, God, or through the angel speaking to the church at Thyatira, we are also threatened, my precious brothers and sisters, if we allow this to occur in our lives, where it says, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. All right, beware of that. All right, let us go to the next instruction. Turn your Bible sources back with me to instruction number 23. And we're going to be looking at another instruction taken from Judges chapter 8, verse 22 through 23, or 22 and 23. And what I want you to do is keep in mind this instruction as I read the text to you. It's instruction number 23. Gideon refuses to rule over Israel. So even though Gideon seems to be one of the judges, he refused to rule over the people. And this is what he says in Judges chapter 8, verse 22 and 23. Then the men of Israel said unto Gideon, rule thou over us, both thou and thy son, and thy son's sons also, for thou hast delivered us from the hand of Midian. And Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. So we get a glimpse of what happened with the king Saul anointing or request. Israel wanted someone to rule over them. And so they were told by God that if Saul were the man that rules over them, that he would take advantage of them, because God is the one that's supposed to rule over them. But since they wanted to be like other people, God permitted it, but he permitted it with punishment, meaning that Saul took advantage of Israel when he became king, and he was the first king. Okay, now let's go to our compliment, our New Testament compliment. Turn your Bible sources with me to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, we're going to look at verse 6 through verse 9, and we're going to see how this relates. This is what Revelation chapter 22, verse 6 through 9 says. And he said unto them, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them that keep the sayings of this book, worship God. My precious brothers and sisters, that is who should be our focus, our director, our Lord, our prophet, our apostle, our omni, which means all in all. Jesus the Christ has been given all power and authority in heaven and earth. He should be the one that we should be looking to for direction, and that is key. All the other is incidental. And that's what I'm presenting to you tonight. So as Gideon refused to rule over Israel, so this angel told John the Revelator, don't look at me, You look at God. And that's what I'm sharing with you, my precious brothers and sisters. Okay, let's go back to our next instruction. And I see we're at our last break of the evening. Let's take that break, and then we will complete the lesson for this evening.
He must increase, and I must decrease. That's one of the most quoted statements in the entire Bible, and we do it to each other all the time. I've been struggling with this text all week, and I've got some neat things to share with you, and they're not what you think. A number of years ago, I was having lunch with a pastor in another state. He was having serious problems in his church. As he told me about them, I winced, and then he said, not only that, the elders of this church have required that I send my sermons to my predecessor for a critique. And I said, Sam, tell them that you're not doing that. Tell them to hang it on their ear. He said, I can't do that. Jesus wouldn't have me do that. I said, if you don't, you won't be a pastor. And he's not anymore. But as I've studied his text, I thought, oh my. Do you know out of that incident, I wrote a book called No More Mr. Nice Guy. And it's been published all over the world in a lot of different languages. In England, they called it Don't Let Them Sit on You. And they have an elephant on the cover that's sitting on this guy. And I wrote it out of that one incident I just described to you. And as I've studied this text, I thought, oh, spit. Maybe I've been messing with people's minds in the wrong way for a very, very long time. He must increase, and I must decrease. While I was working on this week, I got an email from a former student. And he asked me to pray for him and give him some advice. He said he was working on a sermon, and it would only be, he's a youth pastor, said it would only be the second time that he had preached to big people. And then he said, Steve, the last time it was wonderful. Jesus came. Man, I was so pleased with what God did. He said, my problem is, I find myself writing this sermon thinking about the last one, and I'm writing for performance instead of the glory of Christ. I told him, duh. I said, welcome to the club of sinners. Jesus has been using selfish, prideful, ego-centered, performance-oriented preachers from the beginning because that's all he's got. It's called clean water through dirty pipes. So deal with it, boy, and go preach. But then I thought about this. Maybe that wasn't a good thing to say. Maybe I went a little bit too far and interfered with what the Holy Spirit was doing in that young man's life. He must increase. And I must decrease.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's go to the next instruction. We're on instruction number 24, and we're going to go to Judges chapter 9 and take another instruction, and we're going to be looking at text 1 through 3 and verse 6. In Judges, and this is the instruction 24 that I want you to keep in mind. Abimelech seizes power after Gideon. Okay, let's read about that. It's chapter 9, verse 1 through 3. It says, and Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, went to Shushan unto his mother's brethren and communed with them and with all the family of the house of his mother's father, saying, speak, I pray you, in the ears of all the men of Shushan, whether it better for you, either that all the sons of Jerubbaal, which are 70 persons, reign over you, or that one reign over you. Remember also that I am your bone and your flesh. And to give you a little background, Gideon had all these sons, but one was not from the line or the lineage of Israel. Okay, and verse 3, he says, and his mother's brethren spake of him in the ears of all the men of Shushim, and all these words, and their hearts inclined to follow Abimelech, for they said, he is our brother. Now let's go to verse 6, complete the thought. And all the men of Shushim gathered together, and all the house of Milo, and went and made Abimelech king by the plain of the pillar that was in Shushim. So we know Shushim was not of the providence of Israel. So that was the son that was, you might say, stepson. Anyway, he was the one that ruled over the people in Shushim after Gideon refused to. Now let's go to Revelation chapter 13, and we're going to look at and compare and agree and see how the book of Revelation tells us in Revelation chapter 13, verse 1 through 4, a similar situation. This is Revelation chapter 13, verse 1 through 4. Listen to what it says. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven horns and seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as of the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all of the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? My brothers and sisters, this is similar to Abimelech's situation, that the world, Abimelech and Shushim were one of a kind. And this beast and beast or the dragon that gave the beast the power are of the world. And that's the connection that is being made here. And we should be aware of that and make sure we're not caught up in it. Okay? Let us go to the next instruction. We're going to go to instruction number 25. Turn your Bible sources back with me to chapter 9. We're going to take another look at the Judges chapter 9. We're going to look at verse 5 and then 7 through 9 or 15. And what I want you to do is keep in mind this instruction, number 25, as I read the text to you. Jophin's cry, all right? And now we know we're looking at the scenario of the life of Gideon and the exploits that happened during his lifetime. This instance, this is what the instruction is going to tell us, why Jophin cried. And this is what his cry. And it starts with verse 5, and it says, and he went into his fellow's house at Ophrah and slew his brethren, the sons of Jerubbaal, being 70 persons upon one stone. Notwithstanding, yet Jophin, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, was left, for he hid himself. Now, of course, Abimelech was not an actual son from the line. And so he killed all the other stepbrothers, but he didn't kill Jophin. And so this is Jophin's cry. Listen to what verse 7 says. And when they told it to Jophin, he went and stood in the top of Mount Gerizim, and lifted up his voice and cried and said unto them, hearken unto me, ye men of Shechem, that God may hearken unto you. And verse 7 through 15 gives us the rest of the story. And when they had told, I guess I should continue to read, the tree went forth on a time to anoint a king over them. And they said unto the olive tree, reign thou over us. But the olive tree said unto them, should I leave my fatness wherewith by me they honor God and man and go to be promoted over the trees? And the tree said to the fig tree, come thou and reign over us. But the fig tree said unto them, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit and go and promote over the trees? Then said the trees unto the vine, come thou and reign over us. And the vine said unto them, should I leave my wine, which cheereth God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? Then said all the trees unto the bramble, come thou, reign over us. And the bramble said unto the trees, if in truth ye anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow. And if not, let fire come down out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. So this cry that he was saying was against Abimelech and what Abimelech did. And of course, you know what Abimelech did. He killed all the brothers of Jotham. Okay, let's go down to Revelations, and we're going to go to verse 15 of Revelation chapter 5, and we're going to look at one verse, and this is similar with what was said or told. And so we're looking at Revelation chapter 5, verse 15. Verse 1 through 5. The Revelation chapter 5, verse 1 through 5. And this is what it says. And I saw in the light, in the right hand of him that sat on the throne, a book written within on both sides, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And so the cry of Jotham is just like the cry of we today. We are looking for the salvation through God. And Jotham was of the lineage of Gideon and not Abimelech. And Jesus is the one that's identified here, which is our lineage through God. And so that completes the lesson for this evening. And what I'd like to note to you before we close out is that the host and I would like to thank you for continuing to support this program and to bless us with your participation and your encouragement. Now, as we get ready to sign off, to all the listeners, I would like to tell you, remember what Jesus said. He that hath an ear, let him hear. God bless and good night.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE. I hope you are blessed by our program. Please join us every Monday night at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Good night.